I want to thank our ushers as well. It's just, we got a really great thing going on here. And so if you're visiting again with us this morning, thank you for coming to be with us. We are the East Counties of the Garden State Church, which consists of Hudson County, Union County, and Essex County. So I got some good news, okay? You know, there's a lot of things going on, but on March the 15th, we're going to be meeting in house churches, okay? So we're going to be, you know, continuing that theme of planting Christ in our community. But then on the 22nd, March 22nd, we're going to meet in our counties as a combined service. So all of the Essex County will meet together. All of the Union County will meet together. And then all of the Hudson County will meet together. And so I want you guys to be praying about that, because it's a glimpse of the future. And I believe God is going to work in an amazing way. Now, some of us are saying, whew, about time. Okay, we're going to see how it goes. But it is a big undertaking, but I think it's going to give us the vision of what it can be like in the future as we, again, attempt to plant Christ in our communities. You know, there was an engagement last week. Dimitri and now his fiance Sarah are engaged in the Edge Ministry. And so we want to say congratulations there. And you know, it's always great to celebrate victories. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 26:12, he says, all that we've accomplished, you have done for us. And you know, there's been a brother who has made a major career change, you know. Basically, his job was deleted. And he had to, you know, shift gears and decided to, you know, pursue school and study technology. And so yesterday, our dear brother, Demetrio Rosario, passed his Cisco exam. Now, where's Demetrio? Oh, there he is. See, some of us may not understand how significant that is, but that is a huge, huge victory. And he's been on that trek for 2 years. You know, having to change jobs and amen. God is blessing our dear brother. Very proud of you. And I can't wait to see how God's going to work in that way. You know, we're going to continue our series in Grace Roots. And, you know, last week we talked about Paid in Full. No, not the movie in 2002. Some of us got it. But the fact that Jesus paid it all, that we're not having to earn our salvation, that it's not about our performance, and that judging ourselves by what we do, what we don't do, is not a good way to live. In fact, it's very tiresome. But it's amazing because, you know, we go through stages in life. You know, Sari and I are on the cusp of empty nesterism with the kids almost out of the house. Amazing. But it's weird because it got a lot quieter, you know, in the house. And honestly, I can't imagine the kids not being there. Like, it's a little uncomfortable. But, you know, I believe there are stages in our spiritual journey as well. You know, I remember being said, hey, if, you know, he makes it through 6 months, that's good. And then there's the 1 year wall, the 2 year wall, the 3 year wall, the 5 year wall, the 10 year wall, the 20 year wall. And the reality is there's going to constantly be walls that need to be overcome. Because the devil does not, he doesn't play fair, and he definitely does not give up trying to pull us away from our awesome God. But this morning we're going to look at a man's spiritual journey. His spiritual journey to Jesus. And so turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. Let's read together, and then we'll dive into the text. John chapter 3. And in verse 1. Look at what it says. Okay, I'm going to get there. John 3, verse 1. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, as if to not even entertain the flattery, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you did not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Truly, it is powerful. It is eternal. And God, I pray this morning as we look at your word that we can learn about Nicodemus and his journey. Please, I pray for your word to move our hearts. And Father, that not only can we relate, but that we take something away from this lesson and look at our own journey. And Father, I pray ultimately that it results in you being glorified and you being honored. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. You know, Nehemiah's first stage was curiosity. Curiosity. The Bible says that, I'm sorry, not Nehemiah. I got stuck there on the end, and then some of your faces were like, what did he just say? Nicodemus. He was a prominent figure in the Jewish Sanhedrin. And he was a leading member of the Pharisaic religious order. And it says that he came to see Jesus at night. See, he heard about this new rabbi that people were flocking to. And he was a miracle worker. He's healing people. He's doing all of this stuff. And so it perked his curiosity. And he said, I got to go check this out. I can't just go by what I hear. I got to talk to him myself. And so he has an encounter with Jesus. And you know, he comes to Jesus and he gives him all this respect. We know that you have been sent by God to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. He's kind of trying to butter Jesus up a little bit. And you know, you got to remember something about Jesus. He can read your mind. He knows what's in your heart. And so it's almost like Jesus just didn't even acknowledge what he said. And he goes, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And it's kind of like Nicodemus was like, okay, I don't know where that came from. And then he asked a question, right? And then, you know, Jesus goes on and he begins to elaborate more. And I think one of the things that you know, you see here is that Nicodemus had in his mind from early on that there was would be a Messiah that would come one day that was going to restore Israel to its glory, that he'd be like a David type figure. And so in his mind, he's thinking, could he be the one? I've read the stories. I understand the, you know, the history. Could this be the one? And although he had in his mind a different type of Messiah, Jesus was going to come and help make things a little crystal clear of what he was here for and what he was all about. Like Nicodemus, you might be in the curiosity stage of your faith journey. You know, you've heard a whole lot about Jesus, but like Nicodemus, you're not quite sure of what he's all about. You know, you're reluctant to investigate deeply for fear that what you might find out would have to cause you to change some things in your life. And so you're a little skeptical. That means this. That means that. And sometimes we begin to create and count false calls in our mind. And Jesus hadn't said anything but, hey, how you doing? But that's okay. Jesus is a lot to take on. Jesus, though, is absolutely worth investigating. Because, boy, it is so satisfying when you finally meet him and you finally know him. You know, the second stage was confusion. You know, we may never know what Nicodemus thought he would encounter the night that he sought Jesus out. But what he did encounter, we know, left him thoroughly perplexed. As I said, he flatters Jesus. Jesus cuts to the chase. He says, hey, the only way to see the kingdom of God was to be born again. And you know, this was not the answer that Nicodemus came for. It likely wasn't even connected with any of the questions Nicodemus planned to ask Jesus that night. Yet here in this one interaction, Jesus provides the answer to the question Nicodemus should have been asking. And see, Nicodemus begins to, you know, inquire, and then Jesus kind of expounds on what he's talking about. And, you know, in verse 3 and 4, it says, you know, that verse 5 through 8 there, that he began to become kind of more confused. And then he asked Jesus, how are these things possible? And, you know, like Nicodemus, you and I might find ourselves in a state of confusion as you seek to study the scriptures. Some of us, really, we're confused. We've heard this, we've heard that. We were, you know, maybe brought up this way, but we've never really gotten to the Bible to find out for ourselves. And so now we're at a passing point. Well, the Bible says this, but Grandma told me that. Well, the Bible says this, but this guy on TV said that. And so now we're kind of like debating, and we're like, what do I do here? You know, it's okay if you're feeling confused. Because what God has given us is His Word. To go back to and get all of that debris cleared away. You know, I remember when I studied the Bible, I remember my friend Rob said to me, Russ, give me 45 minutes. And I had been reading the Bible on my own for 7 years. 45 minutes. He took his watch off. He put it on the table. And we sat there and we studied. And in 45 minutes, I was in tears. Because he connected all of these dots and all of these things that I'd heard for years. And it made sense. And it was like, oh my goodness. I am in trouble. I have put the Son of God on the cross and killed him because of how I've lived. That's what I knew after that 45 minutes. And the attitude was, how do I get out of this? Where do I go? Can you imagine? Prominent leader, a member of the Sanhedrin. We're talking about Billy Graham type leader. Coming to a realization, I could be wrong. I've been studying for years. I've devoted my life. I've done this. I've gone here. I've learned under this one. I've learned under that one. And he realizes, I could be wrong. Have you ever felt like that? Or have you ever been so convinced about something to find out you were really wrong? And you were loudly wrong. It's like, take the foot out. This is where Nicodemus was at. And he had a decision to make. Am I going to listen to the word? Am I going to follow the traditions and the things that I've heard all my life? You know, if you look back down in that story, in verse 14, Jesus begins to say something to Nicodemus that he could relate to. And he pulls out an analogy about Moses having a snake on a stick. I want you to think about this. And so now as he's talking to Jesus, he's like, oh, I remember that story. And you find that in Numbers 21. We don't have time to go back and read it all, but you can jot it down. Numbers 21, verse 4 through 6, 4 through 9. And basically, I'll read a little part of it, because basically the Israelites were, you know, in the desert, and they couldn't find their way. And you know, God had sent them into this one area, and there were venomous snakes there. And, you know, basically people were getting bit and dying. And so God provided a way out. And it says that, so Moses, it says, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. You better watch out what you say. Listen, the Lord sent these snakes because the people were grumbling. And so now they're getting bit left and right. And so then God says, okay, here's what you're going to do. Do this. And so now the people come and they came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. And here's the thing. Nehemiah hears this story. He hears that from Jesus. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Reborn by grace. So Nicodemus, sorry. So he hears this. Nicodemus, thank you, honey. So he hears this, and then he's like, wait a minute. So you're saying to me that just like this, Moses did this thing and raised it up, that the Son of Man will be lifted up? So you're saying that you are the Messiah? You're saying you are the one that's going to bring salvation? Is that who you are saying you are? And it begins to marinate in his mind. Let's keep going here. Are you with me, church? All right. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. So we go from confusion to this stage of awakening. In verse 49 through 51, it says, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one has ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? So they're in a meeting. They're in this, gathering because they don't know what to do with this new guy, Jesus. And Nicodemus speaks up. And he asks a valid question. Hey, does our law condemn a man without first hearing from him to find out what he's been doing? They replied. Now look at their response. Are you from Galilee too? A little defensive. Look into it and you will find out that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Now the reality is if they dug a little bit deeper, they would have found out that he was from Bethlehem. But again, they were convinced with what they thought. You know, sometime after this late night encounter, we find Nicodemus in the midst of friends, members of the Sanhedrin. And they, again, are afraid. They don't know what to do. They come up with this idea and Nicodemus stands up and he says something that opposed their thinking. He challenged their very law. And from what we see, they did not like it. I don't know if at this point Nicodemus had become a follower of Jesus. But you know, it's one thing when you start standing up and speaking out on behalf of someone, something is going on inside. You know, it's so encouraging when you see Christians stand up for what's right, for what God says, or stand up and say, that is not right, and this needs to change or be different. You know, I want to ask all of our teen through 20s to stand up at this time. Teenagers to 20. Stand up. Teenagers to 20. Please stand up. All right. Stay with me. Stay with me, guys. All right, stay with me here. I want you to look around the room. Okay? I want you to look around the room. Teenagers to 20. 20. Under 30. 20s. In your 20s. In your 20s. Under 30. All right, look around. Look at yourself. You know, it's so encouraging when you see young people stand up for Jesus. It's encouraging to watch and see how some of you have grown up in the church. This is your family. You're part of this community. I applaud you for your faith. Some of you made Jesus Lord. Continue to stay on the path. Because I know it's not an easy path. Some of you are on your way. You're on the journey. You're here. You're listening. You're learning. Because you're the future. You are the future. And I really want to remind you, God has a perfect plan for your life. Not just a good plan, a perfect plan for your life. And like Nicodemus, you're on your journey and we're here to help you make it all the way. Amen? You can have a seat. You know, there's a term in, you know, I don't know if it's the hip-hop world or whatever, but it says, get woke. You know what I'm saying? If you're finally awake, the way Nicodemus was at that moment, don't shrink back. Don't try to shut your eyes again. Embrace the truth. Continue to understand there will be risk to be taken. But you know one of the biggest things, and it's not just for young people, it's for the older folk in here as well. Don't be afraid of what somebody else thinks. Stand up for what you know is right. Don't be afraid to stand alone. Because it's in those moments where true character is developed. It's in those moments where you begin to really understand what it must have been like to actually be like Jesus. Awakening to the truth is the most invigorating and edifying steps in our walks with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that day when Rob and I studied, it was like the blinds came off. It was like, I want to know more. I want to know more. And I'll never forget, Rob pulled in Mario Depend. I call him Dependable. And Mario came over to study the Bible with me that night. And I got afraid because I was like, whoa, what is going to happen here? And I remember it was 8 o'clock. And we were just going to have a talk. And Mario came to my dorm. And I said, you know what, man? I got a test tomorrow. I made up a couple things. And I remember that night, we sat and talked. That was a long talk. that lasted about 5 hours. And I ended up in Jersey City sitting at Leo Soufflé's table at 1:30 in the morning deciding that Jesus was going to be Lord. I remember, let me tell you, I remember, listen, and God, if it weren't enough, God had to reinforce that he was working in my life. I come through Leo's door, and there's this guy sitting in a chair that I couldn't see his face. I turn around, and it's one of my classmates from NJIT. And he was studying it. Al Kerr was sitting here, and Dwayne Watford was sitting over here. And I said, man, you better do this, man. This is right. This is the right thing to do, man. And he's like, That was almost 30 years ago. Once God opens our eyes to the truth, like he did for Nicodemus, and he can do that for you too, there is no going back to spiritual sleep. Are you with me, church? Let's wrap this up. Before we do that, John chapter 19. John 19. This is the last episode of Nicodemus's life that we see in the scriptures. John 19, verse 38. It says, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders, with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Wow. Taking Jesus's body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Here's the last place we see Nicodemus, at the foot of the cross. And see, it was here where it all came together for him. Here's a Jewish boy who remembered these prophecies. And he remembered Isaiah 53. You know what it says, right? He was stricken for us. He was beating. I'm messing it all up, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But the point is, it all came together for him. Think about this. Where were the disciples? They fled. They ran. But for this guy who was religious, for this guy who was this Pharisee, it all came together. And he knew that is the Messiah. Some thought he was dead. He said, that's the one. And you know, it's amazing when you stop and you think about it. Nicodemus went from going to Jesus at night to now coming out in the public, to now taking his body down from the cross, from an act of love, and then preparing his body for the tomb. That act said, I believe that this is the one. And then when Jesus comes back from the dead 3 days later, wow. He was a part of the resurrection story. You know, I took this picture in 2013. And that's Michelle Williams with her niece, Sarinda. Sarinda just got baptized a couple weeks ago. And now auntie and niece are sisters in Christ. And it's amazing to understand, it's all because of what Jesus did. And it's all because it came together. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you're visiting today. Have you reached that stage in your journey where it's coming together? And you need some pieces to that puzzle to get the full picture, to make that decision. Jesus is going to be my Lord. Maybe you've been a disciple for a long time, and you know what? You're not reading your Bible like you used to. You're kind of doubting. You're wondering, is this going to work out? How am I going to stay faithful? How am I going to do this? And how am I going to... Well, remember what has not only been done for you, the fact that he's coming back to get you. He's got a place prepared for you. And sometimes we just need that moment to just read our Bibles again and get that fresh conviction of who our Savior is. You and I need a Savior every day. And this is why he came. So that every day we can cling to him. Every day we can be inspired by him. Every day we can stand up and talk about him. Because we know what he did back on that cross. We know what was the result of that. Is that now we got freedom in Christ. We got a new life. And if that weren't enough, he put that spirit right inside of us. That people come by and said, there's something different about you. Why are you not joining in with the jokes? Why aren't you cussing? You know, I was at Rob's house the other day. And, you know, he had a neighbor there. And this guy's flim-flamming and flip-flapping and flip-flam-flam and fling-flang-flang and fling-flang-flang. You know, and he's just going for it. And I'm just laughing and, you know, we're talking. And so at the end, I said, hey, man, you should come to our church. I'm Rob's minister. He was like, ooh. I said, but dude, listen, come as you are, cussing and everything. That's how we like it. I didn't say that. But that's the reality. You might be the most quote unquote religious person, or you may be that person that knows nothing about religion. Come as you are and find him. You know, Nicodemus abandoned everything that he thought he knew. Everything that he once thought mattered and embraced the destiny that God had in store for him. Everyone's faith story is different. And as I said, I don't know where you are today, but I encourage you, seek out Jesus, like Nicodemus did. And he learned that he was reborn by grace, not by the law, not by works. And to God be the glory. Amen.